tonight we're in the right place to get our spirit renewed. Looking forward to what the Lord would have for us tonight. We've got some prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Wes if he doesn't mind to come and pray over these. But first, we have a testimony that I want to share with you. I really enjoyed reading this. Brother Fred Perry turned in a testimony. He said he'd like to thank the Lord for his many blessings. I've turned in a two-week notice at work after everyone had told him not to. They would just send me home. But instead, they gave me more money than what I'd asked for and a big fat bonus. So he just wants to say thank the Lord. So we sure appreciate the Lord intervening there. Sister Shirley Robbins' back's been hurting her for weeks. Let's remember her tonight in prayer. Pray for Basil Blackburn. He's got multiple problems in the hospital right now. Also for Brianna Owens from Fort Sill, Oklahoma, having difficulty with her pregnancy. Let's remember that. Betty Buck is having problems with her kidneys. It's Sister Eastep's sister, so let's remember her. Philip and Tiffany Woodfin turn in a request. Pray for my uncle, please. He needs Jesus in his life. He's in the hospital right now. Also pray for his son that's in the middle of everything. Pray for my mom and family also, that her mom lost her mom and his grandmother on Memorial Day, the 29th of May. So let's remember that. Brother Randall Gissendanner turns in a request for his cousin who lives in Oklahoma, Kevin Gissendanner. Let's remember him. Continue to pray for Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Gravely. Multiple needs in their body. Also another testimony, Brother Biscoll came through his procedure and is resting comfortably. Thank you for your continual prayers on his behalf. He's thankful for friends that know how to pray. So let's continue to remember Brother Biscoll in prayer. And then also Sister Mary Lewis wants to thank everyone for praying for her. She was in the hospital for 5 days last week, diverticulitis. Said they almost lost her twice because of her potassium and magnesium. It's the lowest that they had seen, and she just wants to testify that God's still a deliverer, and thank you for your prayers. Let's stand tonight. Brother Wes comes and takes these knees to the Lord. Thank you, Brother Wes.
Lord, I want to thank you for making a way. Lord, none of us would have healing to look forward to if it wasn't for the work that you did on Calvary. It wasn't for the stripes that you took for us, the sacrifice you made, the great love you showed for us. Lord, I want to thank you for the testimonies that came through tonight already, and Lord, those that are going to come from these. Lord, we know that outside of you there was no hope. We had nothing. We were nothing but beggars, and you did everything. You couldn't leave us behind because we were part of you, though. We know that too. We thank you so much, Lord, for revealing yourself to us and in this time, Lord, of such darkness among the world. And Lord, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. All the glimmers of hope that you give us, Father, and all the wonderful testimonies and healings that you give us, and all the times that you're with us when it looks so bleak and you don't leave our side when we lose loved ones or we have a time that we have to go through a test or a trial, Lord. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything. Everything that you're bringing us through the Word. We thank you for all the things you're doing worldwide through the men of God who are preaching the gospel unashamed and unafraid, Lord, who stand behind the pulpit and hold this truth up and hold it so dear, Lord, and refuse to give in or turn over or lay down for those who try to push them aside or put them under, Lord, who try to relegate them to nothingness, Lord, and say that they're not needed, Father. I thank you for encouraging them to preach the Word and speak the truth and bring healing to the masses, Lord. Lord, we know that you're not through yet, or we would be gone. Lord, we're looking forward to the day that you come. We look forward to it every morning when we wake up, when our eyes open in the morning, Lord. We thank you for another day, but we also say, Lord, we know that we're another day closer. And we thank you, Lord, and we look forward to your coming. And we call for your coming and say, let it be quickly, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything you're going to do here tonight. Lord, I ask you to help every single person here tonight to put behind them, Lord, anything that might be between them and you. Anything that might be between us, Lord, that might hinder us, Lord, from going on with you. Lord, I ask that you bring a spirit, Lord, among us that will help us to reveal the things in our lives that we need to make right before we come up and take this sacred communion, Father. Lord, we thank you for this way that you've made for us. We thank you for all the things that you've done that are beyond our comprehension even. That are so much stronger and so much more wonderful than we can even conceive of sometimes. And how fortunate we are to just be under the truth and hear the truth and have revelation and have these things right at our disposal, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for all the grace you've given us, all the mercy you've shown us. Lord, we thank you for everything that's going to happen again tonight, Lord. We thank you for the servant who's back there right now praying and getting ready to come up and get out of the way so that you can speak directly to us. Lord, we look forward to what you've got to say. Lord, we don't know how you'll manifest yourself here tonight, Lord, but we're believing on it and we're looking for it and we're ready for it, Lord. And we ask you to give us ears to hear and eyes to see and give us a heart, most importantly, Lord, to receive every bit of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Seated tonight. We had another testimony that was just turned in. Brother Wes and Sister Jess Gilbert says, after trying for a baby for years, seeing multiple doctors and told we may never have a child, we're happy to announce God has blessed us. God completely healed me, took all evidence of the disease away. The baby's healthy with a strong heartbeat. So they thank everybody for your prayers there. Thank the Lord for that. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Let's praise him tonight. Would like to come tonight and lift the offering. I'm sure Brother Wes would like to give a big thanks. Thanks to Brother Wes and then all the folks that helped him last night with that youth banquet. It was a really nice time for the kids. They had a really good service. Brother David did a wonderful job speaking. It was just a really good time for the kids. They were looking sharp last night, and I believe they had a really good time. I know my kids did, so we're thankful for everybody's effort doing that. Let's sing that So You Would Know.
Well, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? How many times must I rescue you from so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were closing your right mind, and then you walked right in your closet. Each step was right in time, but you were weary. must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning?
Your back to the wall. Satan's coming on strong. He really wants you to fall. He'll send trouble your way. Even sickness is a part of his plan. By yourself you can't win. So just throw up your hands. I just throw up my hands and start praising the Lord. I won't give up 'cause I'll stand on His infallible Word. God sees your hands raised. He comes down and inhabits your praise. You've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when you throw up your hands. When I'm faced with a trial, I've got two ways I can go. I can still wear a smile or let it bring me down low. Satan whispers, you're through. Oh, but I hear Jesus telling me to stand. What am I gonna do? Oh, I'll just throw up my hands. I'll just throw up my hands and start praising the Lord. I won't give up 'cause I'll stand. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. Oh, when I'm faced with a trial, I've got two ways I can go. Oh, I can still wear a smile or let it bring me down low. Oh, Satan whispers, you're through. Oh, but I hear telling me to stand. What am I gonna do? Oh, I'll just throw up my hands. Oh, I'll just throw up my hands. Start praising. mountains can't stand when you throw up your hands. Oh, you've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands.
Appreciate that song tonight. That's a good looking shirt. I want to welcome tonight some visitors that are here tonight. We've got several folks from out of town. We're happy you're with us. Got a really good friend of mine and a lot of people here, Brother Gary Longoria and his wife, Rebecca, and a couple of their kids with them. So just happy to have them. That's like family to us. And we're sure you're glad you're here with us and ready to take part in this service tonight. Preaching of the Word is going to be wonderful, I'm sure, and then communion tonight. So looking forward to what the Lord's going to do tonight. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring the Word to us tonight. Let's sing My Hope Is in the Lord. G.
Well, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Let's sing the chorus again.
This time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Sing, I stand in
subsides, the living sacrifice, my only source of life. My hope is in you, Lord. From this time on.
That that's the way it really is with you and God. Some people can sing that song. They don't mean it. Their hope is not in God. It's in their own ability. It's in their money. It's in what they can do. But if you really mean that tonight, you ought to be so grateful. We welcome you tonight, the visitors that are here with us. We trust that the Lord will bless you while you're visiting with us in our gates. Let's turn to a Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 4, verse 11. Going to have communion tonight, Lord willing, so I'll be a little bit more brief than normal. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11. The setting is the wedding night between the Shulamite and King Solomon. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now listen to this verse very carefully again. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Amen. Let's bow our heads together and ask God's blessings on the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your grace and mercy to each of our hearts, Lord Jesus. We're grateful for the privilege that we could be gathered together here again and your awesome, awesome presence. Lord God, we ask that you would help us in this service, that you'd minister to us, Lord. You see every need of every individual. You see the visitors that are in our gates tonight. We ask for your blessings on them. We pray for those that will be streaming the service or archiving it, Lord. May you make us, Lord Jesus, tonight to where we can be a fruitful garden. May the north and the south wind, as it were, blow upon the attributes of Christ in our lives. May we, Lord Jesus, by that invite you to come into our midst, Lord. For you are that great one, and you go where you are invited. We know, Lord Jesus, that according to this song, she's fixing to invite you. And when she does, you gladly respond. So we tonight do likewise. We ask you, come, Lord Jesus, speak to us. Come, Lord Jesus, heal our sick. Come, Lord Jesus, set the captive free. We know, Lord, that if we invite you, you will beckon and come to our invitation. So come, Lord. At the end of the service, we'll be able to say, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. This might seem a peculiar identification to think of a woman being likened unto a garden. Yet, for those of you that know the parallels of scriptures, you know that God uses many symbols of nature in order to reflect the mysteries of his great kingdom. And truly, this one is one of them, the Song of Solomon. Solomon says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. And because this is the setting of the great wedding night between him and her, we can see the parallel that runs from actually the Garden of Eden. And we know that the Garden of Eden was a reflection of the perfection of what God had in his mind. And we believe we're going back to a garden one day, because this is where man started his existence, in a garden. This was man's first occupation. We see that by that God desired to show something about himself. Solomon, in looking at her, he describes her not only as a garden, but a garden enclosed. And he says that she is also a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. Now let us read, if you would, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. It's amazing that God placed this man in the midst of plenty of delights. He's placed him in a paradise, and yet this man is conscious of feelings that he cannot understand, or he finds no resource to be able to take care of those feelings and those needs. They are so great that even God himself declares it is not good for the man to be alone. So before the woman comes into existence, she comes into existence at a declaration made by God himself. But the declaration was not going to be how beautiful the woman was or how great the woman was. The declaration concerning the woman's beginning of her existence was to satisfy the need of her husband. Now, if we look at that right, I think that ought to help us to understand why we ought to consider ourselves so blessed to be a part of the bride of Christ. We are blessed not because we are good, not because we're worthy of any of these things. Our existence answers to the declaration of God's need for people who can love him. Therefore, our entire life should be to the honor and the glory of God. Is that right? Now, when the man's own creation is introduced, God, of course, does it by divine decree. But when he makes the woman's existence coming into view, God does it out of whenever he brings the man, he says, let us make man in our own image. But he does not say out of a need or an intent or a purpose answering to something. But when the woman comes into view, it is a total different thing. So the man is made to be social. The man is made to have a fellowship and communion, which is what we're fixing to do here momentarily. And that is in partaking of elements by which we are identified. Even though being natural elements, it speaks to us of a spiritual symbol or a spiritual status. Now, when we shortly will take this little piece of bread and we will put it in our lips and we'll take this little small cup of wine, we know that there's actually no healing power itself within the wine. It's not the literal body of Christ. But in the symbol, by obeying that, we know there is healing in communion. Is that right? No doubt some of you tonight are sick. If the Spirit of God can drop that revelation in your heart, you can be healed, right? When you're pressing this little cup to your lips and the bread. Now, is it the natural bread? No. Alicia, through the help of my wife Carol, this afternoon made this bread in our home, and they tore it to pieces, and the wine made by one of the deacon brothers here at the church. Anybody could try to have access to this wine, could drink too much of it. No doubt they'd get sick, or they could get drunk on it. But yet, for those of you that are going to take it in a spiritual symbol, it's not going to make you sick nor drunk. But if you're sick, it might make you well. So instead of making you sick, it can turn around and make you well. You understand? Why? It's because of what you were doing it for and the intent and purpose that you're keeping it. Now, to somebody who wouldn't understand or that life or ridicule it, they would take the same thing. They would bring damnation upon themselves. But to a real believer, they walk in, they take the spiritual symbols, and by faith they say, Lord God, I believe these symbols represent your body. I believe they represent your blood. As I press them to my lips, I also have a need in my body tonight. I believe your healing power can come and deliver me. You believe that? Now, man, God is now going to make something for man himself, which will be something complementary to what man is. Now, man himself was placed, of course, in a great, beautiful position in this Garden of Eden and come from the very headquarters of Eden itself. Yet he's left without a counterpart. It's not that he's alone in the world, in the realm of there's no one else there, because Elohim comes down every day. But Elohim is so far above him that he can't really be a counterpart to Adam. The animals are there, which there was countless of thousands of them, no doubt, male and his female, but Adam was above them. So Adam was neither on the place with God, neither was he on the place of the animals, so he was a middleman, as it was. So he's in between the two. He's in a place where there's no one there but himself. And God says it's not good for the man to be alone. Now he's in the Garden of Eden, and yet he's in a perfect place, absolute perfection all around him everywhere, but he has no counterpart in order to enjoy this. Now look at Solomon, how that Solomon looks at the Shulamite, and he identifies her as being a garden. So she is a garden enclosed. Now her symbol there is that sanctification is what sets her apart as a garden is enclosed. Now if you have deer around your place, or you would have groundhogs or animals or something like that, and you would go out there and till the ground and plant it with seed, you're not growing that for the deer. You're growing that presumably for yourself. You want tomatoes and cucumbers and whatever more. So you would put a fence around the garden, and you would have it there to where the cattle couldn't trample through, or the animals wouldn't be able to come through and break it down. Well, here Solomon likens the Shulamite to being like a garden, but not just a garden out in the open or in the public, to where anyone and everyone can have complete access at any time they would want it. But he likens the bride to being a garden which is shut up. Now we know that there was gates around this, so there would be no need of gates unless there was a wall. Now walls are very great symbols, we know spiritually, and they're also in the negative sense as well as the positive. Many people get behind denominational walls, the type of that, of course, darkness, or they're pulled off from the light of God, hid away from the blessings of God. But walls can also be very positive things. But we know that through that, when you go to sin, well, you can't do this and you can't go there,
there, and you can't dress this way, and you can't do that. People go to having a problem with him. This is one of the problems that many people have with the message of the hour, is because they think it's too strict, and I can't live it. And then people can't go here, and they can't go there, and they can't do this, and they can't do something else. Well, to us, it is simply a wall around our garden that protects us and separates us from being like the world. But someone that's outside the garden wall, that they would look toward it, to them it is like a prison. It is like a penitentiary. Oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. So it depends on which side of the wall that you're on, how you're going to be able to relate to it. Now here God is going to bring the woman into existence. Notice this in Genesis chapter 2 verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. So God makes a declaration in verse 18 that it's not good for the man to be alone. And then God goes into the next verse and he does not make the woman immediately. But what he does, he goes to making all of these animals after the declaration that man is not good for him to be alone. So instead of immediately satisfying that desire in the man for fellowship and fellowship, be able to eat together, talk together, you know, someone you can relate to reciprocate back and forth, instead of God doing that, God makes thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of species of animals, and he brings them to the man and lets the man name them, which is only going to enhance his loneliness in a greater way. Because as now God has brought all these things to the man, and the man is going to realize how much greater his need is than what he realized it before. Because maybe there was some animals out there, maybe there was something that he didn't know about, but now God is going to bring it all to him, and Adam is going to name them. And the scripture says that he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. As if Adam had to go through the animal kingdom to be able to fully comprehend, there was nothing even beneath him that would be able to satisfy that longing within himself. Now, because there was not a bunch of gods, of course, there was only one, and he had fellowship with him. He already knew within himself that he and God was his father, and he loved him so much and cared for him so much, but yet even God would not be able to fill this longing that he had within himself. So the lonely man sprung from the soil, yet his origination was in divinity. Coming out of the dust of the earth, his body, yet his soul was breathed into him by the very breath of God. So truly he is a man that is in the middle. His body is of the earth, earthy, and yet his spirit, we know that God gave him temporarily in place of theophany, and his soul being an attribute of God, fashioned out of the dust, yet receiving the breath of life from God himself. The prophet tells us that God breathed into his nostrils, and he became an eternal person with God. Oh my. Allied to the beast, but yet sprung from divinity. Not entirely bereft as far as being around him with other beings, but yet no one that he could really relate to. No one that could love him. In the Creator, he could not fully be identified. In the animal kingdom, he could not fully be identified as well. Jehovah Elohim was so far above him, the animals so far beneath him. Notice then in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now here in the Garden of Eden, God brings another garden out of the garden keeper. In the Garden of Eden, God brings another garden out of the garden keeper. Now this garden, which is going to be brought out of him, is going to be called woman, but yet she was not actually Adam's attribute. Now to be in Adam's mind, if he would have known she was there, but Adam did not know. Her body, of course, coming from the rib, and all of that that God made, her spirit being a part of his spirit, but she was not an attribute of Adam's mind. She was an attribute of God's mind. Let me say this to you tonight. You are not an attribute of your pastor. Whether you come here, wherever you go, wherever your pastor is, your assembly, you are not an attribute of Brother Branham. We are an attribute of God. Now, ministry can be used in helping you to come to your acknowledgement of a new birth and so on. But you did not begin in me. You did not begin in the prophet of God. We come forth from the eternal one himself. Now notice, so the Lord God caused this deep sleep to fall upon the man. Now let me move down in time and then I'll jump back. The same thing is going to happen with the God man many, many thousands of years later, 4,000 years actually, whenever Jesus is going to actually produce the elements to give birth to his bride. Once again, in a garden of Gethsemane, he will totally surrender his entire humanity, his will, and there, amen, there God will start the consequences of bringing the elements to give the elements to produce you a new birth. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, thank God. Now, God takes one of his ribs. Notice what he says in verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So she was not made out of things that were not, as the stars and everything was in the beginning. She was not brought into existence out of nothing. She was not brought into existence out of another handful of dust. But actually, she is double refined dust. Now, God takes originally from the man himself, and he brings from the dust of the earth, and he makes the man's body. Now, here is a byproduct that comes out of the man, so you've got dust out of the dust, so it's double refined dust. Oh, praise God. So she was not made out of nothing, amen, but made out of refined dust, amen. So in her is the very attributes and the love of God as well, in order to bring for his son. Now notice this word that Moses used when he said, which the Lord God had taken from the man, and made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And look at the word made. It is to build, to rebuild, to establish, to cause, to continue, to build a house and establish a family. So now we see a plurality that is given to the woman, that she is not just going to be his companion, his helpmeet, but from her will come the foundation of the family or the home. Can't you see why Satan wanted to get to her first? So the woman is actually the last of God's works. We don't see God making anything else. All the bees, all the birds, all the plants, all the animals, all the trees, everything was already made. So the last thing that God made was the woman. So she is the finale of everything that God is going to make. And of course, she becomes now the crown of man, in that she is going to be that part of himself that he longed for expressed. Now, she's divinely fashioned and she's divinely brought to the man, and the scripture says, and the Lord God brought her to the man. So if he is the head, she is his crown. Amen. A real godly wife, that's what she is to her husband. She is a crown to her husband. Praise the Lord. The woman was not taken from between man's toes so that man would be able to do this. She was not taken from his head so she'd be able to be his boss. She was taken from his side, out of his rib, or from with one of his ribs, out of his side, so that man was made to do this to the woman and pull her right back where she came from. We did not come from the feet of Christ. We did not come from the head in the sense of being his boss. We come from his heart. Why? So he, from his heart, would be able to pull us right back to where we came from, because he embraced us here before the foundation of the world, and no other woman will ever fit that imprint but the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Can't you see that it is the attribute of God's love that draws you in mercy, the judgment of God, the fiery judgment coming from the mouth of God would condemn us all because of our shortcomings and our failure. The feet of the winepress, my, to go in and trample on us if that's where you'd have come from. You didn't come from either of those places. You come from the very heart of Christ himself. Amen. So the woman now comes into view, and we see her as a garden in a garden. So the entire operation of this is not carried out under the direction of God by angelic beings, but carried out by the Holy One himself. So God brings the woman to the man. Now notice this, by God's own hand, we know this. In verse 22, notice again that the scripture looks and said, the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So she is divinely presented as a father presenting his daughter to get married. So the father now brings his daughter to his son, and they are now going to be joined together in the presence of God. And where's all this taking place? It wasn't in a Walmart. It wasn't the White House. It was all in a garden. So from the very beginning, we see that perfect divine human love is identified by a garden. Then in the garden is all the attributes or the traits of pure love. So you can see why that the Song of Solomon contains so many figurative types of frankincense and myrrh and aloes and spices and trees and all these sort of things, because he's taking from the symbolism of what was written in the book of Genesis. Now remember, Solomon also had a personal private garden, they say, that was around Jerusalem. One of the historians, Sophonies or something like that, wrote of it and said it was a private garden and only Solomon was allowed to go there. Now again, it's a great symbol of the church of the living God. You see, friend, it's not that we are trying to make ourselves holy and trying to make ourselves different. It is God who sanctifies us. He's the one who calls us out. You know, and we may have different convictions about this or that or the other. Maybe some of you brothers, you would never wear a shirt the color Brother Gene's got on. And some of you brothers, you would never wear a green tie like Brother Terry's got. And say, boy, that's just too much. Some of you brothers might not wear a lavender shirt like Brother Jack and say, that just ain't me. That ain't me. But when it comes to what God requires, God leaves the requirement for each of us written in the Word and in the message. There will be personal things that say, well, I can't go here now. I can't do that. That ain't no problem until you go to projecting your own convictions on everybody else. Now, when you go to doing that, then you're trying to actually bring the whole bride subject to what you think is right and wrong. Uh-oh, you got quiet on me. My. Now, God brought her to the man was in the confines of where that he had placed him. Notice in verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. W-O-M-A-N. And of course, this word, I mentioned to you last week, it is a contraction of two words, which is womb and man. So it is the man with a womb. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry you didn't know that. That's the Anglo-Saxon term. That's what it means. Now, so Adam said, she is now bone of my bones, singular, bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So the design of God is now perceived by Adam as God brings her to him. At the presentation, you understand what the presentation does? The presentation releases a revelation of where she come from, and it makes her identity known to this Adam. You imagine, oh my, whenever Christ will present to himself a church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, we plan on being there, don't we, by the grace of God. So he is perfectly aware now of the nature of what God is wanting to do. So it's starting to hit him, Brother Darrell. I realize now why I was longing for something. I realize I should not have been dissatisfied. I should not have felt this emptiness. Now I know why I was feeling this way. It was something inside of me wanting to be free. Amen. Something inside of me wanting to be free. So this is now the counterpart of myself. It is like me. Now watch this. In 1987, a group of geneticists published a surprising study in the journal Nature. The researchers examined, I can't read that big word, you medical people know what it is. Anyway, it's the mtDNA taken from 147 people across all of today's major racial groups. These researchers found that the lineage of all people alive today falls in one of two branches in humanity's family tree. One of these branches consists of nothing but African lineage. The other contains all other groups, including some African lineage. Even more impressive, the geneticist concluded that every person on earth right now can trace his or her lineage back to a single common female ancestor. Isn't it amazing, though, they couldn't trace them all back to the same daddy? Oh my. So they all go back, whether they're black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, South Vietnamese, whatever they would be, American, a Native Indian, whatever more, all of them go back to one female ancestor. Can't you see why when God brought her to Adam, this is the foundation of the family. Now, of course, Adam cannot reproduce himself by himself, but he can reproduce himself with another part of himself. Lord have mercy, I don't think you got that. He cannot reproduce himself by himself, but he can reproduce himself with another part of himself in a further extended creation. Hallelujah! Can't you see why the Lord Jesus wanted and needed a church in order to be able to commit his seed into that body? That's how people are born again. It's not by reading a book. It's not by joining a church. It's when the seed passes through that body and the life of God is able to get a hold of a heart and produce a new birth. Then he produces himself through himself. Amen. He produces himself through himself. You are an extension of himself. I hope this don't shock you too much, but you are Christ with a womb. Woo. Glory to God. You are his female counterpart. Notice in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Look at the meaning of the word cleave, to cling, stay close, stick to, stick with, follow closely. In other words, you're glued. Sisters, don't you marry any man you can't be glued to for the rest of your life. Brothers, don't you marry any girl. I don't care how pretty she is, don't make no difference. If you don't want to be glued to her the rest of your life, let her be. Because this is what the real cleaving is supposed to be. Now, they are now going to enter into this spot and they are glued together. Now, Satan has all the time, of course, been watching this, and he sees what God has done. But he knows that the woman is the last stage, of course, of everything that God has made. Notice verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here we find in the Garden of Eden, there's no houses, there's no highways, there's no cars, no bicycles, no touch of civilization at all, of man's civilization. It is the God civilization. And there is one man and one woman, and that man has the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the title deed to all the earth and the title deed to all the attributes of God. You don't know it, neither do I, and remember it, but our original word names were written in that book. That's what we're going to be identified in eternity as, and we should have come that way, but God knew what would come about. And where did it happen? In a garden. Now Solomon is sitting there looking across the table at the Shulamite, and what does he see in her? He looks at her eyes, he looks at her hair, he looks at her nose and her lips, and he describes all them beautiful things, and he comes to the summation of it all, and he says, my sister, my spouse, my sweetheart, my beloved one, you are like, it just hit me. He says, you are like a garden. You are like a garden that has been closed up. Watch this. The prophet says, in the Garden of Eden was God's economy of innocence. And there was one of the dispensations. The first dispensation was innocent. The people knowed no sin. They didn't know anything about sin because Adam and Eve were naked, but they were hid from their nakedness by a spirit veil over their face. They never knew that they were naked at all because they were hid. For God's veil in their own minds, they didn't know what right and wrong was. and them both standing there naked showed that the knowledge had not yet come to them. See, that they were naked, the pair was naked and knew it not. Satan's Eden. Compare this now, how much alike to man and wife, both in God's Eden with the one stitch of clothes on them. Notice now, and knew it not, for why didn't they know it? They were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other and they didn't know they were naked. They were a veil of the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were a veil. One was man and the other was woman, and they did not know they were naked, because the holiness of God, the holiness of God, kept their eyes veiled. Notice, God hid their conscience from sin by the holy veil. Wish we had some time to lay on that a few minutes, he says. Look here, for he the worshiper once purged, Hebrews, amen. The worshiper once purged has no more conscience of sin. Sin has passed from him. Do you realize if you're born again tonight, your soul has moved back into that state where Adam was in the Garden of Eden, except farther? Because Adam fell from where he was, you can never fall. If you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Notice how the Holy Spirit of God's holy word, he said, had a man and woman naked and didn't know it. How beautiful. The life of the word, the seed, the word. God said there is a tree in the midst of the garden, the woman. And in the midst of the garden is this tree. Don't even touch it, for the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. They were wholly veiled from it. Didn't know nothing about it. Daring to touch it. They were a holy veil. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah, he says. They had perfect love one for the other. Perfect life forever. They had perfect love. Perfect understanding of the love of God. They had God's word and kept it. They were alive and safe in God's Eden with no death at all around them. Lord, that makes me feel like shout. Praise God. Friends, we're going back that way just as sure as there's a God in heaven. Now watch this. So Eve was a garden in the garden. So in order to get the garden, you've got to get the garden. Now the Garden of Eden is only the selected, separated spot. He don't just want the garden. He wants the earth. But the garden spot contained the major actors and role players in this great divine drama of the Father. So in order to get the earth, you've got to get the garden. And in order to get the Garden of Eden, you've got to get the Garden of Eve. Do you understand, Satan, why he fights you the way he does day and night? Because you are God's garden. So he wants to get you. The garden of you. Oh, he'll fight against you and batter against you and do everything he can. And if your soul is sealed with the Holy Ghost, he can no longer get your soul, but he'll still batter against your mind. He'll batter against your flesh. He'll batter against your spirit. Come on now, preach with me. But if your soul isn't sealed, then he has total open access to that. If he can grant access into the garden of the soul, he has all three realms tied up. So if he can get the garden of Eve, he'll get the garden of Eden. Then he'll get the state of Eden. Then he'll get Babylon. He'll get all the rest of the entire earth. He will not get the universe now, because only the earth was allocated to man's great commission. So everything under that man's domain, Satan won. But he's first got to get to the garden of Eve. Notice this, question and answers. The Garden of Eden laid east of Eden. Notice now where the prophet plays it. That the Garden of Eden laid east of Eden. So we have the globe of the earth, beautiful planet, beautiful, beautiful creation of God. She's all special, all wonderful. But yet God chose a certain state called Eden. And then God chose a certain spot inside that state called the Garden of Eden. Then God took a certain pile of dust, a certain spot of dust, and made his son. Out of that certain spot of dust, he made a woman. So every time we look at it, separation, separation, separation. Right? And Satan, every time God separates and divides, Satan knows that's a special sign of God's love and care for that which has been separated from the other. This is one reason he can't stand you. This is why he hates our young people around this message, because he wants us to look like the world. He wants you to lose your identification of separation. So you'll merge back into the wilderness of the world by the language you talk, by the way you look, but that's not who we are. We are separated and separated and separated. Amen. Amen. You believe that? Glory to God. Notice now, God has this great, great plan in his mind. And he cannot make the man fall. He cannot make the woman fall. But he can put them on a basis, knowing that they will. Now, he's a savior, but he can't do this. Cause it to fall and then run over and pick it up. Oh, I'm a savior, I'm a savior. He can't make this handkerchief fall, but he can put something in this handkerchief called will. Free moral agency, if you will. Then the handkerchief can be able to choose. Oh, you're going to preach with me now? The handkerchief can say, well, you know what? I think maybe I might do this or that or the other. Notice he says the Garden of Eden laid east of Eden. Is that right? The Garden of Eden was east in Eden, on the east side of Eden, and the cherubims was placed there. So here God places angels inside this special place. So they are chosen by God to live in this holy, sacred place. Where is it all happening? A garden. A garden. So there's beautiful flowers. Oh my, every animal there was so tame. The great dinosaurs are just strolling through the paradise of God. Not a bit of harm. And then the prophet tells us in Satan's Eden, he said they were as gentle as a kitten. They would come right up to Adam, and the birds of paradise would fly upon his shoulder, and they would coo to Adam, and Adam would answer back, and the wind would start blowing through there. And the prophet said that Eve would say, oh Adam, that wind is a little bit rough. And Adam would say, peace, be still. And the wind would lay down. Now remember, Satan at this time had not had a permanent residence that he got since he got cast out of heaven. So he's looking for a place. Remember, the prophet tells us that day on Calvary that he walked up and down the earth whenever the earth was in a fiery, burning, brimstone state, and he made his footprints on the earth. He made his claim on the earth. I want this place. I want this place. Now he's got enough sense to know he cannot come against that direct attribute of God, the original product of the Word, which is Adam. So he sees the woman made out of that. Can't you see why that we are so dependent upon Christ Jesus? We cannot stand on our own. We are out of him. We're not strong enough for all. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've been around. I don't care how long you've been around. The devil is stronger than all of us put together. There's only one way we can remain a garden. What is it now? It is Satan's Eden. It is a garden of sin. It is a garden of lust. It is a garden of lying. It is a garden of putrefaction. But guess what? There is a garden in this garden of hell. But she's not a garden of hell. She is not a garden of putrefaction. She is a garden that is so set aside to her loving Lord that nothing will separate them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my. Now you realize, the prophet goes on to tell us in question answer 64 that Adam did not yet know about this knowledge of this act. God kept it from him. But there happened to be one hanging around the house, the garden, that knew. Oh, I hate slickers, don't you? I hate their mannerisms. I hate the way they do. Some guy come long enough just to get your daughter out of church, or some girl come long enough just to get your boy out of church. Have no intentions on serving God. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. Have no plans on serving God. They've got one plan, and that is to defile that daughter of yours or defile that son of yours, to pull them out of the economy of God. Don't let your children just go with anybody and everybody. Keep a strict eye on them. Well, Brother Donnie, should we? Absolutely we should. They're in your home. You can't make them live right, but you can say, honey, I love you with all my heart, and I'm looking out for the best for you. Amen. Amen. What did God do? He brings them to a garden. So focus. He focuses. Satan does. If I can get this garden, I'll get that. that one. I get the whole thing. All I've got to do is get her. If there is no bride presented out of this age, God is a liar. If there's no bride that's produced out of this age that's absolutely perfect, God's word is not true. And God can't be trusted. But I'll tell you how worried he is. He's then gone away to prepare a place for you. He's really tore up. Oh my. I mean, the Lord is really tore up, Brother Darrell. Is this really going to work or not? I don't know. Well, you know, he's done gone to prepare you a body. Aren't you glad of that? He's gone to prepare you a body, a theophany. And you know what? There won't be no extras that God will say, man alive, I don't know how that worked out. I made 5,338 extra theophanies. Or some people come up and say, Lord, where's my theophany? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you was going to make it. Let me go back and make you one too. He knows exactly how many they'll need. He knows exactly who could build a city and design such a place no architect I know of, and waiting on the determinate counsel of man's will. But he knows how many will be saved. He knows how big the city needs to be. The streets are already laid out and paved, and there's not been one new apartment or one new mansion added to it since you got saved. As a matter of fact, it was already built in the blueprint. Praise God. There won't be no remodeling in heaven. There won't be no enlarging in heaven, because somebody showed up that he didn't know about. Everybody that shows up, he will know about. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. A garden. In a garden. Watch them as they sit there now. Solomon takes her by the hand and looks into her eyes. As I described before you last Sunday, it must have been a beautiful setting. Persian rugs on the floor. The candle lights were flickering. There was dates and raisins and nuts. Whatever you'd want to eat, pretty much to drink. And this sweet incense would have been burning inside this beautiful place. The bed would have already been prepared. And remember, this would have been Solomon's bedroom. But it had changed now and had been renamed the bridal chamber. Even though he'd slept there for a long time, her coming brought a change in the home. Amen. Amen. You're going to preach to me? Can I have a little bit longer? With her coming is going to bring a name change. So the same room for all this time that had been called church, but when the seals come open, he said, now I no longer call you church, but I'll call you bride. Amen. Isn't it amazing that it's not called the bridegroom chamber, but it's called the bridal chamber? Notice this, the prophet said there was the cherubims placed there, the tree of life, the east gate of the garden. That's what I think Cain and Abel made their sacrifice. So now there would have been no need of a gate had there been no wall around it. So there was this gate that was there. And Solomon says to her, oh my love, you are like a garden enclosed. You're like a spring shut up. You are a chaste, pure virgin. Now he's describing her traits and characteristics when he's identifying her as a virgin or chaste woman, which is locked up behind the gate. I found this. I thought it was interesting. Among the Athenians, the interior part of the house called the woman's apartment was not only locked, but sealed. Not only locked, but sealed. So it was the woman's apartment. Amen. Notice again across the mystery. You can't commit adultery. You're already pregnant. Glory. He can't take a hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. You're already his by predestination. That seed has come to life and no world can get in. Glory to God. No world can get in. Oh, how we'd like to say on this for about an hour. I'm sure sure you understand. See, Christ and His alone already finished. The seed was there. The seed, when was it put there? The night you went to Happy Valley and heard me preach. The night your mama told you about this and that and the other. Tell us, Brother Branham, when was it put there? Before the foundation of the world has predestinated us unto eternal life. As soon as the life-giving flow, that seed laying there, other seeds just couldn't come in. It wouldn't take a hold. It couldn't do it. But when that seed come in quickly, it stopped up the womb. It stopped up the womb, and all the rest of the seed was drove out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's those of you that's got the Holy Ghost. You can no more be a sinner than nothing from your soul. Will you make mistakes in your flesh? Sure you will. Will you have to keep it in control? Sure you will. I'm talking about your soul. Your soul is sealed. It is sealed. Oh my, the invisible union. But to the elected, God is calling to the elected. They know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is she? A garden. She's a garden that's shut up. A fountain sealed. Not now by pyramidal gates, but by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token. Again, he said, well, you separated from your first husband by spiritual death. Now you're born again and remarried again to the new spiritual union, not of your natural life, the things of the world, but of eternal life, that germ that was in you at the beginning. Glory. Found you. You wasn't looking for it. It was looking for you. Oh, I went to the altar. I'll tell you, I've done this and that and the other. It wasn't you looking for it. It was it looking for you. And if it's looking for you, it means there's you for it to find. And if it's looking, it will find you. Praise God. Amen. Now your old book is gone and your old union, now your name, I love this, has been transferred. You say, do you mean to tell me my old book? God put it in the sea of His forgetfulness and you stand perfectly before God. Your name is now in the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. Your identity now surpasses the Garden of Eden. You are now in your soul back in a garden state. Why? You're being called from the Lamb's book. Amen. It's now reappeared again. It's reappeared after thousands of years being lost to man. But now it's reappearing again. What do you mean, Brother Donnie? You are appearing on the earth identifying that name of yours. And as you receive the message of the hour, you left the other thing and you recognize the word of God as eagle food. You heard from your theophany. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. Hallelujah. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Glory. Justified, Romans 5:1, yeah. Therefore, being justified by faith. Let me see if I can find a place to close. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God, stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh my. Standing completely, you never sinned at the first place. God don't even know it. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. You said, what's this got to do with the wedding night? What's it got to do with the wedding night? Don't you understand? This is our Solomon. This is our Solomon. What's he wanting? He's wanting you to close out chapter 4. And call for the north wind and the south wind. He's wanting you to beckon your king to come into you. But you'll never do it as long as you're holding on to your old life. As long as you're looking, well, I'm nothing. I'm no good. I realize you wasn't no good, but if he bought you, you're good now. And you're not good on your own. You're good by the purchase price. He says all of those complimentary things leading up to the time, Brother Darrell, that she will say, come north wind and blow thou south upon my garden. Lord Jesus, you're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God. So let's bring it back to the garden setting. So here we have a middleman. He condescends from the great eternal. The eternal cannot die. This man could die. Right? He's above the beasts of the earth. He's not a beast. He's not a bird. He's not botany life. But he condescends from the great eternal. So there's got to be a middleman's wife. And guess what? You're going to be contrasting in the middle of these two worlds while you're here. Just like he was. He was a God man. You got to be a God woman. In your soul, it is God. Come on now. Oh my. What did God do? God brought him to her in the garden and presented her. Oh Lord Jesus. Notice this, unadulterated bride word that he washed by the water of his own blood that became flesh and manifested, that he might take you which were predestinated, notice where from? The bosom. Now I read it to you last weekend that the rib is the only part of the body that contains all the major five types of cells in your body. And from a rib, taking a rib out, it'd be entirely possible to clone a human being. So you won't take a rib out of Jesus and produce a church of God. You won't take a rib out of Jesus and produce a Catholic church. But what will you produce? You'll produce a woman. Christ with a womb. What if he's going to be a clone? Hallelujah to God. If it's going to be a clone, what's it going to do? There's no way that you can take his genes and his rib and make this man made something over here. There is no way. It will be him in a further expression. Glory to God. Let me close with this in the rapture. In the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned. Why? She is foreordained. She is trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and came forth, the blood cleansed her. She stands there virtuous. See, she, no sin on her. At all. Amen. Now let's go back to Psalm 4:13 and we'll close. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor, and spikenard. Now he's looking at her and going to be able to bring to her, because this is a country girl, she'd be able to relate to a lot of these plants. And he's wanting to say, can't you see, sweetheart? This is you. This is who you are. You are a garden. You're made up of all these plants and trees and odoriferous types of trees and all these trees that have these aromatic fragrances and aromas about them. This is you. And she's looking at herself and think, really? That's me? You mean that's what you see in me? I mean, I just look at myself as a dirt bag. We said you need to look down the dirt bag and look at the seeds in the dirt bag. Look and see what I planted there. This is what I see you as. This is your life. Amen. This is me in you. So what's he want? He wants the wind to come and blow upon her. Where is she? She's at a stalemate. Notice what she beckons for. The wind. The breath of God. Why? Why, Brother Mike? Nothing's moving in the garden. You ever get that way? Where it seemed like nothing going on. You're a garden. You love God. You go to church. You do everything. But it seemed like there's no move. So what's she do? She asks for the north and she asks for the south. Now both of these winds are contrary one to the other. One brings storms and rain. The other brings hot and dry climates. But both of them mixed in the right way produce vortex from each direction. And what it does is mixes the fragrance of the trees and the plants by the vortex that is created from these law of contrast. And it brings out the entirety of everything she is. And then it begins to rise, and she says, come into my garden. Come into my garden. Oh, north wind, come, south wind, come blow upon me and come into my garden. She's finally realized who she is. And the first thing she asks for when she recognizes who she is for him to come. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, children, can he come as long as they're saying, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. Oh, if he can get us by his spirit to realize we'll never be good enough in ourselves. We'll never be ready in ourselves, but we have met his requirement. And God has given us the token on our lives, and therefore we are ready. Every Holy Ghost filled saint of God in this place tonight ought to be able to raise your hand and say, I am ready right now for the rapture. I am ready for the body change right now. If you're not, you can be ready. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you'd help us tonight. Oh, Lord God, may we look down the different rows of our trees. May we look at the aloes as they are aligned, which we know planted in order. May we look at the myrrh, the frankincense. Lord, maybe some of these people here tonight, they are truly born again. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. But they just need a stirring of the wind. Maybe they're just in that still time of their life. It's amazing her understanding of the winds, that she didn't just call for the south, which is the most pleasant wind, but she beckons the north. So she's going to be caught in the contrast between the two. The vortex created by these thermals will actually raise her glory of what Christ has done in her, to where he can be exemplified and honored in her life. If we could only look at trials and tests that way, Lord. Sometimes the north winds come and they bring difficulty. How we long for the south wind to blow and be able to blow away the trials and the tests of life. But we know that the south wind contains no rain. The south wind does not bring moisture. So our lives as Christians must be living in the contrast between the north and the south wind. Lord Jesus, help us tonight, each of us, I pray. We need you so much, Lord. May the Spirit of God just deal with every heart. If there's people here tonight, Lord, that aren't ready, maybe they've got an ought in their heart against someone, or they've got a besetting sin in their life. Help them, Lord, to be able to make it right now. As we're fixing to partake of these elements, Lord Jesus, spiritually, we've already had communion here tonight. We've communed with you around your word. We've entered into that sacred place. Now, Lord Jesus, we're going to take the natural elements that you left for us to keep. We're taught that we ought to search our hearts and our lives. So we pray you deal with every person, Lord, as we look into your word. Amen. How many loves him with all your heart? Let's read the communion scripture. If you'd like to read it with me, they'll have it up on the board. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. You realize that what we're fixing to do tonight, Jesus started this supper almost 2,000 years ago. It has not stopped. You say, I wish I could have been there to take communion with Jesus. You are. Amen. Jesus is here. Amen. Brother Darrell, he intended for this supper to
to keep going. There was no amen at the end of this supper. Okay, this is once and only. This is it. It's still going on around the world. And it has been for 2,000 years. Praise God. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This is why we do it. "This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped." Now he takes it, he tastes of it himself, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." Now don't examine yourself and say, "Well, I've got faults and I've got flaws in my life." Well, if you have, ask God to forgive you. Examine yourself and then eat. Don't examine yourself and leave, but examine yourself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not the Lord's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, we do not have a closed communion in that, I mean by that, that only folks who come to this church can take communion. Any Christian here tonight, any Christian, you're open to have communion with us. And if you feel a little nervous, you just watch how we do it. Each church has its own customary way, and you'll be able to fit right in. You're more than welcome to have communion with us. Actually, this is only an appetizer for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we'll bow our heads, and we're just in a moment of silent prayer. You're not just praying for yourself, but you're praying for your brothers and sisters that are around you. We'll ask the deacon brothers if they'll come. Granted, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as I hold in my hands these little parcels of bread, baked this evening, Lord, in our home, and as I was downstairs studying, I smelled the aroma of it as it came through the house. It reminded me of you. Certain elements that were put together and laid out flat and put into a pan, put into an oven, brought to a certain temperature, those elements become mixed together. They lost their separate identity and merged out of the oven as one piece of bread. Then, Lord, taken by hands and torn to pieces as your body was that day. So it was torn for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this special time that we can have together. I ask your blessings on this bread tonight, Heavenly Father, of what it represents. If any that are sick come through this line tonight, when they take this little parcel, this little portion of bread, may they be reminded that you stood at a whipping post before you ever died for their sins and your body was beaten. May they also understand we are one bread as well. Blessed Father, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, as I lift the lid from these trays, the aroma of the wine as it rises up. O Lamb of God, unlike grape juice, unlike many things that people use for communion, this wine gets stronger and stronger. And as our world sinks deeper and deeper in darkness, the more powerful the blood is. It could save people in the first century, but they didn't have near the sin we got today. But today we've got it everywhere. But the blood of Jesus to us is more powerful in its representation. Lord Jesus, as we press these little cups to our lips, I pray, hallelujah, make the revelation of it so real to our hearts, dear God. Bless this wine, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Everybody, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lord, it's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Everybody stand our feet. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. It's the old-time Holy Spirit. And the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. but it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that. Lord, it's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. It brings things from undercover. And it's good.
One more time.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, Lord. It's good enough for me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord. And Megan said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I trust your garden tonight. A garden, a beautiful paradise of God. A little piece of ground that the Lord Jesus sought out. Took all the weeds and the briars and the habits and all the things out of your life. So much bitterness. Remember them old roots of bitterness and all that that was in you? The gardener had to go in there and dig it all out and grub it all out in order to make you a fertile place that God's seed would be able to grow. A garden is a beautiful place. A garden is a growing place. A garden is a place of life. A garden is a place of resurrection. If you're a garden of God tonight, you are a place of resurrection. Praise God. God bless you. We certainly appreciate each of you being with us tonight. Certainly enjoyed the presence of God. And each of you that brought your little lick of fire to come and share with us, thank you for that. We'll just bow our heads together. Ask God's blessings on each of us as we go our ways. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service. Lord, before long, the tape recorders, as it were, in heaven will be shut off. The records will be closed. And then we'll stand that great day. I'll have to give an account for what I've said tonight. They'll have to give an account for their reaction to it. And we'll all have to give an account for the way we live it. So we pray, Father, that it would not just be words. Make it more than drama. Make it more than a story. Make it a reality to each of us, Lord. We love you so much. How we long for the day when we'll all be able to gather together at your house, Lord. All sickness will be over. All old age will have disappeared. Father, we'll be young forever in the presence of God. Till that time, may you keep us. Keep us from this evil age. Keep us from the darkness that's around us, Lord. May we shine to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. Let's sing this together. I know people have talked about it for 2,000 years, that he's coming, but I still believe it, don't you? I believe it now more than I did when I was a little boy, and I give my heart to him, Brother Terry. We're closer to it right now. Amen. Let's sing it together as we go. I'm going home. Sing it now with all your hearts. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Amen. Amen. I've always been a stranger here. Oh yes, but now I'm again. Praise God, everybody. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Thank you, Jesus. hurts, no more pain. There'll be no more tears, no more pain. Think about it.
Field and Brother Danny and Brother David and over in Nicaragua, and sometimes it's not easy, the places you sleep and the food you have to eat and the creatures you have to deal with, and I'm talking about bugs and stuff like that. But when the meeting's over and you see the lives have been changed and people testify, I had a cancer and it disappeared from my body or my back, and the Lord touched me and it's well, and you pack up your stuff and say, let's go home. And we're living in the closing moments of the Gentile dispensation. And we're getting ready to hear that great summons. Come on up. Come on home. Oh, let's labor the communion in a symbol form of that hour that we sit at the table. And those that we've labored with down through the ages, and maybe our strength is not what it used to be, and our ability to recover from the ministry maybe is not like it used to be. But to sit there with warriors who carried the sword in this hour, what an honor it will be to be identified with you in that hour. May the Lord richly bless you. I desire your prayer. I'm battling shingles. Broke out on me about, I think it's the 11th day of just constant pain. But I know he's my healer. I was supposed to have been in Denver, Colorado this weekend. I wasn't able to go. And Brother David Seiler graciously left his family and got on the plane and took the meeting for me over in Denver. So I certainly appreciate Brother David doing that. And may the Lord bless him. But do you love him tonight? Amen. We desire your prayer, and certainly being good to be in the house of the Lord and to serve and be a part of communion with you. May the Lord bless you. Let's just bow our heads for dismissal tonight. You appreciate the word of God? Isn't it wonderful to know that we're an extension of him? Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we just count it such an honor to bow our heads in your wonderful presence, Lord. Lord, as we were singing the songs there, and the Brother Harry, the musicians, Lord, playing the music of Amazing Grace, where my mind went back to that old day there in Jonesboro, Tennessee, Lord, But I bowed there at that door and gave my heart to you, Lord. You washed me of my sins. God, I'm so grateful, Lord, for what you've done for me, Father, what you've done for the people that's gathered here, Lord. Father, when the battle gets rough and rages, may we never forget that what you have done for us, Lord. We're just so grateful, Father. We just love you tonight, God. We ask, Lord, that you go with your people now as they travel to their homes, Lord. Watch over them on the highways, and those that are visiting this weekend, Lord, maybe traveling back perhaps in the morning or after service tomorrow, be with them, Lord. Get them safely home, God. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. Father, may every person that passed through the communion line tonight, Lord, may your spirit sometime between now and the morning just visit them, Lord. The affliction of their body, may it leave them, Lord. We believe that you're our healer. You're our comfort and our strength and our joy. We look to you, Lord, our all and our all. As Peter said, we cast our cares upon you, for we know that you care for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful service tonight. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord, strengthen his body. Lord, we just commit the service and these people into your hands now for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be dismissed tonight in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Sing it again, Brother Harry.
I'm going home.